You're hearing there the opening of the National People's Congress in Beijing this week. Nearly 3,000 Communist Party delegates from across China gathering for the two-week summit. But you're also hearing the ceremony overlaying a remarkable consolidation of power in China's leadership. President Xi Jinping announced he's abolishing term limits for his presidency, and this clears the way for Xi to stay in power indefinitely, even though it was his father who helped draft the constitution that set term limits in the first place in 1982. We got reaction from Chinese citizens living and studying in the United States. Cheryl only wanted us to use her first name.
If Xi Jinping is trying to be the emperor of China, the political situation for citizens and netizens would be worse. But we shouldn't forget that the current situation is really bad already. We should remind ourselves that as long as the Communist Party is in control of China, nothing is a better situation, no matter who the president is and how long he could be the president.
We also heard from Shaunavel Kong, a freshman at Temple University.
I know term limits is kind of like a small ideal, but having a term limit creates a bigger picture for the people and the citizens of a country. And China's ratification of eliminating term limits, it destroyed any ounce of China ever having a democratic government.
So to me, I think this move is actually sending out a very strong political signal, which I don't know exactly what it is, but it is quite alarming.
That's Tony. He also wanted us to use only his first name. He just completed his graduate studies at Columbia University in New York.
I am definitely concerned. The most direct impact on me is that in the past week, I have at least 20 friends on social media got silenced or their accounts got deleted altogether only because they uttered disagreement and sometimes just alluded that this change might not be the best thing in the world.
Increased censorship on social media and more broadly online, signs of growing authoritarianism in China. So what happens if Xi effectively becomes, as President Trump said, president for life? I'm Todd Zwillick, and this is The Takeaway. Mary Gallagher is professor of political science and director of the Lieberthal-Rogel Center for Chinese Studies at the University of Michigan. She's watching the People's Congress in Beijing and what President Xi's political moves could mean for a China trying to reorder its economy and increase its reach across the world. Mary, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, Mary, a lot of people have been speculating over President Xi's true motivations for getting rid of term limits in the Constitution. What do you read in this situation?
Well, Xi Jinping has been a strong leader since he first took office in 2012, and he's, I think, impressed a lot of people at his ability to centralize power even before this move to remove term limits. It's been justified as a way to allow him to continue the reforms that he's doing internally and also for him to continue to project China's power globally. It's also been justified that having term limits created a kind of lame duck situation for leaders in their second term. And so this is another sort of justification for allowing Xi now to rule indefinitely.
Well, that's the justifications from the government. Let's do some of our own analysis here, because presidents are normally limited to 2 5-year terms in China. That's gone now. What is China giving up by changing the term limits now? What do they gain by giving Xi this power, and what do they lose?
Well, I think you saw it in the remarks of the people being interviewed earlier, particularly these young people. What China is giving up is an institutionalization of its political system. I mean, China's not a democracy, and having term limits didn't make it a democracy, but it did give it a sense of a system that could have the peaceful transfer of power between party leaders. And that's a really exceptional thing for an authoritarian regime to do, to have this transfer of power. China has done it for the last two presidencies. So in 2012, Hu Jintao, who was the former president and general secretary of the party, handed power over to Xi. Now Xi is saying, Xi Jinping is now saying that this is not going to happen in 2022.
And what do they gain by consolidating this power in the hands of one person and effectively saying that his leadership could go on for the next 20 years?
I think the party believes that what it will gain is a decisive leader at a period of time where China has to make some very critical decisions and difficult reforms. And so I do think there is a portion of people within the party and maybe also among the citizens that think it's a good thing that Xi Jinping, who seems decisive and resolute and is going to lead China through this difficult period. At the same time, I think many people are more worried about the change in the rule itself, because Xi Jinping now at the current age versus Xi Jinping at, say, 85 is a totally different situation. So it's very difficult for people in China right now, given the political system, to express maybe support for Xi Jinping as a leader going forward for the next few years and Xi Jinping ruling indefinitely.
So more centralized power in the hands of Xi Jinping, long-term decision-making, more stability, I guess, for the Chinese government. What's around the corner for China that Xi and the government that is behind him now would want to allow him to amass power in this way? What is this going to allow China to do?
I think domestically, China has some important changes that it needs to make. Its development model, which was based on sort of low-cost labor and high levels of government investment, is really exhausted. The environment is ruined. And so this kind of new normal that Xi Jinping has been talking about, changing China's development model, has focused around making China an innovative, sort of technologically advanced country, cleaning up the environment, liberalizing the financial system so that it can allocate capital more efficiently, changing the fiscal system so that its taxes work more in a balanced way. Right now, the central government gets most of the taxes, but the local government is responsible for most of the expenditures. So there's all of these hard things that China is going to need to do. And over the past 15 years or so, there's been a sense that reform has been going too slowly.
What about China's reach on the world stage? You mentioned its domestic economy. What about things that China wants to accomplish out in the world? Another aspect of Chinese policy now that's getting reported is an 8% increase in military spending. China hasn't revealed the details of where that 8% goes, but that's a lot.
Yeah, China's military budget has been growing at a similar rate for many years. And so this increase, this current announced increase this year is not particularly different, but it's just part of this trend of China's expanding military power. Xi Jinping in particular has really articulated a different kind of foreign policy for China. Previous leaders since Deng Xiaoping in the 1980s had this idea of China needed to bide its time. So China needed to sort of keep its head down, get stronger economically, keep political stability internally, and sort of not get too involved in big global issues. That's completely changed under Xi Jinping. So Xi Jinping has this idea of Belt and Road Initiative, which is building out infrastructure in places all over the world, but particularly Central Asia and South Asia and connecting to places like Europe. He also has expanded China's military power in the South China Sea. And I think also just generally, given the current situation, both in U.S. and European politics, which are very inward focused, really dealing with sort of internal division and polarization, Xi Jinping sees this as a kind of moment of opportunity.
So, Mary, if this is a stronger and more confident Xi and a more confident China, consolidating this power, as we said, let's take a current example. How would this influence China's behavior, say, if the United States were to impose tariffs on Chinese steel, that kind of potential provocation and a potential trade war? It's a real-world example.
I think this makes it easier for the party and for Xi to, if there is a trade war, the Chinese government can impose pain on its own sort of domestic constituents, which might be hurt by a trade war, in a way that it will be very difficult for President Trump and the GOP to do so. And you can already see that within the GOP, these internal divisions that have been throughout the Trump administration, but particularly now, given this announcement, it's going to be very difficult for Trump to push through tariffs that divide his party. Xi Jinping, on the other hand, is going to be able to, I think, impose pain on domestic producers or perhaps investors who may be hurt, but at the same time are not going to be able to really voice very much opposition.
Oh, that's interesting. You're saying that fighting a trade war overseas is a lot easier when there's no dissent at home.
Right. And I do think there is dissent. I think you see it on social media. You see it in conversations. But voicing dissent currently in China is dangerous because Xi Jinping has also, in addition to making this term limit change, has had this kind of ideological purification campaign on for the last few years, particularly in universities. And within the party, he's launched an anti-corruption campaign that has put, you know, major party leaders in prison. So voicing dissent, I think there is dissent, but voicing dissent is almost impossible.
And we heard from Tony at the top, who said that several of his friends had their social media accounts essentially shut off for uttering even displeasure with the news of unlimited terms for President Xi at the party Congress. Is that the incentive for Xi Jinping now? More authoritarianism and sort of ideological purging and kind of a stamping out of dissent back home?
I think it makes it, I mean, if he is interested in doing these reforms, which I think we assume he is, then the reason to silence dissent is to make it such that he can go forward with these plans and to not have any voiced opposition. But again, like I said earlier, I think lots of people in China are concerned. They're concerned more about the change in the rules, because Xi Jinping right now might be fine for many people. Xi Jinping at 85, not so fine.
And Mary, before we have to run, looking over the next 2 years, let's say, as Americans watch the situation in China, some things get in the news internationally and some things don't. What should we be looking for, in your view, from China that will suggest the first effects of this new power on the part of Xi Jinping?
I think given the possibility from both social media and from sort of rumors that are coming out about elite dissension about this change, it's possible that what we might actually experience is, rather than a lot of resolute policymaking, is perhaps a kind of policy paralysis where local government officials and other party officials simply don't act as quickly as they might because they want to indicate that this policy is something they're not in favor of. The other possibility, I think, for President Xi is that he now needs to justify taking on this indefinite presidency. And there may be actually more pressure on him within the next 5 years to continue Chinese growth and to continue making people happy. And that means perhaps also avoiding some of the difficult reforms that the government is planning to do.
Mary Gallagher with the University of Michigan on China's march forward under Xi Jinping. Mary, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.